Hi, my name is Patrick, and this is my story. Back in the 80s, I was into deep, heavy drugs. And I put myself in Teen Challenge. When I was there, I said, God, if you're real, send that counselor to me. And the next thing you know, the dude steps right to me. And I was there maybe, I don't know, 6 to 7 months. And I heard the call of the wild. And I left, which was a big mistake. As I was out in the world again, doing the wrong things, getting high like before, I ended up in 87 getting stabbed just below my heart and I almost died. 3 days later, I was running around the hospital looking for something to eat. From there, you know, I was so stupid, I should have stopped, but I kept going. And so my wife and I were heading for a divorce. There was a woman that used to walk around the neighborhood. Her name was Sister Wells. And she would pray over the neighborhood and stuff like that. So she was a guest at my mother-in-law's church. And so she preached and everything, and my wife was there. She went to visit. And so Sister Wells pointed to my wife and said, the Lord said that he's going to make that man behave. And when you walk with him, you're going to walk with your head held high. And my wife had said, oh, no. Because she didn't want to go through that, which I don't blame her. So as she was leaving the church, Sister Wells kept screaming, with your head held high. So my wife didn't know at that time I was praying to God. I was saying, take me, because I was so tired of the life that I was living. Easter Sunday, I went out. I got arrested 3 times, and they kept letting me go. So I started walking to the Brooklyn Heights because I was sick and I needed money. So I kept walking, and I was on Willoughby Street and Adams. And it was a beautiful sunny day. There was no cars around, nothing. It was a beautiful Easter Sunday. And all I remember is waking up in an ambulance. And I feel that was on my road to Damascus, because I was taken out by a rabbi driving a van. And from there, I accepted Jesus, and here I am.
Beautiful. That is Patrick. Patrick is in charge of our facilities here at the church, and what a wonderful story he has. Today we're going to continue in our series on This Is My Story. Everybody's got a story. No one likes the story you get, but everybody's story matters to God. And for this entire year, every Sunday, people have sat in that red chair and they've given their story, and it has been amazing to see and to hear things that you knew people for 15 years, but you didn't realize it until they sat in the chair. And so we got a few more weeks, and we're almost at the end of the year. Can you believe it's been an entire year? But it's been great looking at not only the stories here in the church, but really, most importantly, the stories out of this Bible. And today we're going to go to a story by the name, the guy's name is Zacchaeus. So if you have your Bibles, you got your notes this morning, you can follow along. You can follow along in your notes. There are going to be scriptures up on the screen, and we are going to look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus. How to have a radical encounter with Jesus when opportunity knocks. If you're with me this morning, let me hear a big amen. Amen. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief among publicans, and he was rich. But he wanted to see Jesus and who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little in size. And he ran before Jesus and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass by. And when Jesus came to the spot, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste, and he quickly came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, half of my goods I will give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will give it to him four times. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation has come to the house of, for as much so much as also he is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that what was lost. I want to jump to Ephesians, a New Testament verse of scripture as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every, say that word with me, opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Zacchaeus, his name means pure. But there was very little pure about Zacchaeus. He was hated by everybody in the town. He was a tax collector. It'd be like you living next door to an IRS agent. Every time you saw him, you were reminded that you owed money, and no one loved tax collectors, especially Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was rich. The Bible doesn't say this, but I think he had an attitude. I do. I think he had an attitude. I think he was rich. I think he was hated by most people, and on top of that, he was small. He probably had a Napoleon complex. I think he was guilt-ridden. I think he was desperate. He had a lot of zeros in his bank account, but he was miserable. Had a lot of money, but he was insecure. He was tiny, small mind. He got an email one day that Jesus was, and I read it here, he was passing through. And I want to remind every single one of you that Jesus is always on the move. He was passing through from Jerusalem to Jericho. And just a few minutes prior to this encounter that he was having with Zacchaeus, he had another encounter with a guy by the name of, he was a rich young ruler. In my Bible, it's the same exact page. And Jesus confronted the rich young ruler, and he said, You're doing good on about five of the Ten Commandments. If you only give away what you have and give it to the poor, you'll have everything. And the Bible says that the rich young ruler went away sad. And guess what? Jesus kept moving. He didn't try to negotiate with him. He didn't try to work out with the attorneys that he could cut back on a little bit of the requirements. No, Jesus is always moving, and the rich young ruler left sad, and Jesus kept moving. He was on the lookout for somebody who desperately wanted him. And in Luke 18, the rich young ruler didn't want it bad enough. So Jesus continued on the way, and he was leaving Jerusalem for Jericho, And Zacchaeus got a memo that Jesus was coming, and Zacchaeus, unlike the rich young ruler, he was desperate for Jesus. You see, money can't fill you. Power doesn't satisfy you. Being tall and good looking is not the answer to life. Zacchaeus was desperate for Jesus. And he heard that Jesus was coming. And he said, I may not be tall enough to see him, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to get a glimpse of Jesus. And you know what he did? He did what most of us would be unwilling to do. What I admire about Zacchaeus is that he was willing to do what most people were not willing to do. He climbed a tree. I wonder how many people we'd have at church this Sunday if the requirement was to climb a tree. Have to be a small tree. Have to be a big tree. Because I think sometimes Christians in America, we're just not that desperate enough. But Zacchaeus had enough money. He had enough power. He had the reputation. But he was desperate to see Jesus. And it says in your Bible that Jesus was walking. He was moving through from Jerusalem to Jericho. Watch this. And the Bible says that when Jesus reached the spot, maybe it was the Holy Spirit. I believe it was. That prompted Jesus to take his eyes, watch this, off of the crowd and to lift his eyes and to see somebody who was desperate to see him. And just like Patrick in his story, Zacchaeus was getting ready to have an encounter with Jesus. Jesus reached the spot and he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, if you're willing to come down, if you're willing to get out of that tree, if you're willing to sacrifice, you can follow me and I'll give you meaning. I'll give you purpose. I'll give you significance. The Bible says that Zacchaeus climbed out of that tree, went and met with Jesus. And this is really interesting. I love this about being in leadership because you always have people that complain. And as soon as Jesus encountered Zacchaeus, people started to murmur. He's going to the house of a sinner. I can't believe Jesus would be with him. Doesn't he know what Zacchaeus has done to the city? Doesn't he know that he's a ripoff? Doesn't he know all he's done? And Zacchaeus, in a beautiful, beautiful exchange, looked at everybody and said, Jesus, if I've ripped people off, I'll pay him back four times. And the Bible says that today salvation came to Zacchaeus. Because he was desperate. Because he was unhappy. He was unfulfilled. And when he heard that Jesus was coming to town, he was going to do whatever it took to make sure that he get rid of his emptiness, his pain, his sorrow, his guilt, and exchange that for a wonderful encounter with Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity Zacchaeus had. I'm going to give you 6 points real quick. We've got a lot going on still. We got a wonderful baptism we're going to do in just a few moments. If you're with me this morning, let me hear an amen. Amen. There's a couple of quotes I want you to see about opportunity. I like what Milton Berle says, if opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. George Bernard Shaw said this, don't wait for the right opportunity, create it. Napoleon Hill says, your big opportunity may be right where you are right now. Thomas Edison, opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. I can just picture Zacchaeus climbing up that tree, how true it was. To succeed, jump as quickly at opportunities as you do at conclusions. Abraham Lincoln said, I will prepare, and someday my chance will come. Albert Einstein says, in the middle of every difficulty lies opportunity. Winston Churchill says this: "A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." Amen. William Arthur Ward says, "Opportunities are like sunsets. If you wait too long, you'll miss them." And H. Jackson Brown says, "Nothing is more expensive than a missed opportunity." See, Zacchaeus knew that he had an opportunity, a moment that he may never have again. The rich young ruler had an opportunity, and he missed his opportunity because he was in love with money. Zacchaeus had the same opportunity, and he maximized that opportunity. See, it says in Ephesians, make the most of every opportunity. That's an incredible word, opportunity. It's a nautical word that was used back in the days when captains of ships were waiting to bring their ship into port, but they just couldn't come in at any given time. They had to wait for the winds, they had to wait for the tides, they had to wait for the seas, and when everything lined up, they would bring their ship into port. Opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And Zacchaeus had an opportunity and he wasn't going to miss it. I hope you're here today and you, like Zacchaeus, realize that your answer is to see Jesus. Your answer is to do whatever it takes. If I got to climb a tree, I'm going to climb a tree, but I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. Here's 6 points I want to give you. If you want to have a radical encounter with Jesus when opportunity knocks, if you're with me, say amen. Amen. Number one, seize the moment with expectation. Seize the moment with expectation. The Bible says in Luke 19 that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and Zacchaeus was determined that he was going to seize the moment. He was going to climb that tree. He was going to do whatever it took to get this shame and this guilt off of his life so that he could have the most of every opportunity. Number two, choose not to allow your limitations to limit you. Make sure you don't let your limitations limit you. Well, what were his limitations? Number one, he was rich. Number two, he couldn't see. And number three, he was small. But he made the determination that he was not going to allow those limitations to limit him. So let me ask you a question today. What is your excuse? Are you too tired? You too old? You too young? Been around the block too many times, you've been there, done that. Well, like, what is your excuse to encounter Jesus? Are you desperate enough to do whatever it takes to seize the opportunity and see Jesus so that your life can be changed? Number three, I love this one. You've got to determine that you will not be denied. Luke 19, verse 3 says, "And he sought to see Jesus." Let me ask you a question this morning. What is the one thing that's keeping you back? What's the one thing that is holding you back? Zacchaeus made the determination that he was not going to be denied. And by the way, here's a good question. Why was Zacchaeus the only one willing to climb the tree? There was thousands of people, but only Zacchaeus had that unique opportunity because he was willing not to be denied. I'm not going to live like this forever. I'm not going to continue to live like this. I am not going to be denied. I am going to see Jesus. And he climbed the sycamore tree to see Jesus. Number four, if you're going to have an encounter with Jesus, you've got to do what others are unwilling to do. You've got to be willing to do what other people are unwilling to do. He climbed a sycamore tree. I looked this up, and I've been to Jericho. It's incredible. You leave Jerusalem, which you're way up on a hill, and then you go straight down until the city of Jericho. But between Jerusalem and Jericho is nothing but desert. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's the city of Jericho. And it's beautiful, and it's green, and it's lush. is a gorgeous city in the middle of this desert, and it's filled with sycamore trees. The sycamore tree is symbolic of strength, stability. It grows in difficult places. And I love that Zacchaeus, he was willing to do what everybody else was unwilling to do. He climbed a tree. Every time I hear this story, I've told this story, but I'm going to tell it again. When our kids were little, we tried to do Bible lessons, and I tried to read through Leviticus to them, and that just didn't get anywhere. They looked at me like some of you look at me every Sunday. They're like... So I said, Tam, we got to do something different. This is not working. We got to start doing some skits. We got to make this thing alive. My kids are falling asleep on me during my devotions. So let's come up with some skits. So the first skit we did was Zacchaeus. And we had our house in Winter Park, and I said, all right, Austin, you're going to be Jesus. And Aaron, you're going to be Zacchaeus. We put Aaron up on the kitchen counter, because he was climbing the sycamore tree. And then Amanda and Allison, you're going to be the crowd. And I'm the director. So when I say go, I want girls, I want you to scream, I want you to yell. Austin, I want you to walk through the city. And when you come to this place, I want you to look up and call Zacchaeus down. And we're going to have a beautiful encounter. And he's going to cry. And he's going to repent. He's going to get his life changed. It's going to be really, really good. Ready? Action! And so the girls scream, Jesus, Jesus! Aaron's up on the kitchen counter, Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree, and Austin walked through as Jesus, and it was just so beautiful. I had tears in my eyes. The Holy Spirit was moving. It was such a great devotional, and Austin walked through like Jesus, and he looked up to Aaron and said, Zacchaeus, get your butt down here. You're in trouble. I blame Tammy for that devotion that went awry. Number four, church, if you're going to see Jesus, do what other people are unwilling to do. Number five, get in the right position. Everyone say position. Zacchaeus saw that Jesus was about to pass by. He may not stop. This may be my only moment. I've got to get in the right position. And when Jesus came to the spot, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must dine at your house. Zacchaeus was in the right position. And here's the position I want to talk about real quickly as we get ready to wrap this up. I'm not talking about being up in a tree, cuddled up with a bunch of branches and leaves. Watch this. His position was one of a heart that was repentant. Everybody touch your heart. See, the right position is not climbing a tree. You can't go home today and climb a palm tree and get in the right position. It's not about climbing a tree. It's about having your heart right before God. Amen. The right position is, God, I got money, I got power, I got influence, but I am desperate to see you. And if I got to climb a tree and get in the right position, I start by positioning my heart and I repent and I ask you to forgive me. I had a 11-hour meeting this week. Yeah, 11. 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. What on earth can you talk about for 11 hours? And if I had to give a summary of what this meeting was about, it's about a person whose heart had become hard, arrogant, rebellious. Nobody in this church, unwilling to repent, driven by pride. See, Zacchaeus was so desperate that his pride was set aside. And he said, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to have an encounter with him. This is my opportunity. I'm not going to be like the rich young ruler who missed his opportunity. I'm going to seize the moment, and I'm going to start by having the right heart, and that is, God, please change me. I'm dealing with some things that I shouldn't be dealing with after all these years. There's an area of my heart that's not pleasing to you. You see, I forgot to tell you this. Zacchaeus, his name means pure. And the Bible says that the pure in heart are going to see God. But it's possible to be a Christian. It's possible to be a believer. It's possible to come to church. It's possible to fill the pew and give and volunteer and still your heart not be in the right position. And all of us, there's a wake-up call. This is our opportunity to make the most of this opportunity. The days are evil. And live soberly and live godly and live holy. I'm speaking to Belle Isle Community Church here today, and I say to you and myself, let's make sure our hearts are pure before God. There's a beautiful cross to my right and your left. And that cross is the symbol that we can run to. When pride creeps in, when lust creeps in, when the love of the world creeps in, we can say, God, forgive me. Help me to live a life of purity. I want to see you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Number six, Ashton, you can go to the keyboard just for a moment. By the way, doesn't Ashton do a good job here? Number six, you want to seize the moment and you want to seize the opportunity? Obey quickly and joyfully when Jesus speaks. Everybody say quickly. And joyfully. Watch this. He's up the tree. Jesus says, come down. Watch this. And Zacchaeus says, yes, sir. And I'm going to do it with a happy heart. When I raised our kids, my goal was, please, God, raise up my kids and help me raise my kids up, that when I ask them to do something, they do it quickly and they do it joyfully. It only happened a few times, but it made my heart just filled with pride when I would say to my kids, pick up the toys. Don't hit your sister. Pick up your underwear. I mean, and they would do it quickly, and they would do it joyfully. Now, I'm not mad at anybody here today. I had a long week, 11-hour meeting. I'm not good at 11-hour meetings, so I'm not taking it out on you today. But I do want to step on your toe here real quickly. Why do you demand your kids and your grandkids obey you quickly and joyfully, and you debate when God asks you to do something? Or you argue. Or you come up with a bunch of excuses. The command was simple. Zacchaeus, come down. And Zacchaeus did it quickly and did it joyfully. This week, I hope it happens. I hope you call me. I hope you send me a text. I hope you email me. God's going to ask you to do something that you don't want to do. He's going to ask you to do something that is uncomfortable. He's going to ask you to do something that's out of your comfort zone. And he's going to ask you to do something that you don't get paid to do. And I'm wondering today how many of us, when he asks us to do something, we're going to debate, we're going to complain, we're going to ignore, and we're going to bypass his request, thinking that somebody else is going to do it. You know what it's called, church? It's called a missed opportunity. And when God asks you to do something, you like that nautical sailor, you wait for the moment and then bring it into port. yes, God, I will obey you, and I'll obey you quickly. And then my last point, quickly. Silence your critics by surrendering all. And when they saw, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood up and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore him four times. Watch this. When you surrender all and you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will silence the critics because you've abandoned everything and they've got nothing to murmur about. If you and I will live that life of complete surrender to Jesus Christ. Surrender it all. Give it up all of it. It's worth following Jesus. And Zacchaeus did what the rich young ruler was unwilling to do. He gave it all, and he followed Jesus Christ. Would you bow your hearts with me as we pray together?